Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Earlier this year, a book was published entitled Maybe He's Not Gay, Another View on Homosexuality. Our very first program of the year was an interview with the author of that book. She has now written a study guide for high school and adults to go along with her new book. My guest today is the author of the book, Linda Harvey, president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you today, Diane. Thanks so much for having me on.
Let's just start off with giving us the mission of Mission America.
Well, we've been doing educating and equipping Christians and others with a conservative Christian worldview and discussing current cultural issues for about 20 years. I was really convicted to start doing this back when I, shortly after I became a believer in the early 1990s, after being a liberal agnostic for my adult life, all of a sudden my whole worldview changed and I thought, wait, what's going on here and what can I do? And I had a background in communications, mostly healthcare and insurance, which seemed to work over into some of the social issues that I was all of a sudden very interested in. And so I thought, Lord, I will do what I can. And he directed me to many of these issues, and the one that is the one that we've covered the most has been homosexuality. So we do a lot of speaking. I have a radio show in Ohio and on the Moody National Network, and I do a lot of writing and so on, so that's what we do.
That's good. Yeah, definitely the issue of homosexuality is really the primary issue. When you look at how cross country, we see it being, the acceptance of homosexuality is being pushed, and the normalization of homosexuality, of course, is being, shall I say, celebrated by Hollywood, and really the mainstream news media also is celebrating the homosexual lifestyle and pushing the normalization of that. So I was very, very happy when you wrote the book, Maybe He's Not Gay, because you approach that subject of homosexuality from a whole different aspect, a whole different angle. And the book is written for the young person because, you know, let's face it, they are the primary targets for the homosexual activists and those who are pushing this agenda. It's the young people.
Right. Yeah, that's where we decided to do that. We decided to go that direction because there is some material for adults out there. It's shrinking and becoming less able to be published, but we decided to go at the youth audience primarily. Adults have been reading it and have found it beneficial, but it's primarily for late middle school and up.
And I'm sure that homosexual activists have been very pleased that you wrote this book.
Yeah. Yes, they all sent me congratulations letters.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it's been quite the opposite. As you know, that these folks are quite, opposition is one thing to, you know, and have a different point of view is one thing. Their approach is generally to smear you, try to shut you down, try to call you every name in the book, label you hateful when there's no hate here. Mm-hmm. I don't hate anybody, and we've never hated anyone, and you know, and to say things about you that simply aren't true, just make it up. And they went on a huge tirade to do that, first targeting the Kindle edition of the book on Amazon, and then when more reasonable heads prevailed, people that had actually read the book and were at least neutral or tending to be conservative, it started to get a much more balanced view. But the things that they've written on there are just wildly inaccurate, unfair, and, of course, actually hateful, and that's really sad. But it did give a lot of publicity to the book, which God works in mysterious ways. So, I'm saying, okay, fine. And I think a lot of people, you know, there are people out there in their camp, and if they've read this book, I believe hearts will be changed, even for people that don't, you know, came at it from a hostile standpoint. I believe hearts will be changed by this book.
Yeah, the Lord can work through that for sure. And if they will approach it with an open mind, or even a somewhat open mind, you know, as they read the book, they definitely can be changed. Their whole attitude can be changed.
Yeah.
And one of your recent newsletters. You do send these via email, and I encourage folks to go to your website, missionamerica.com, to sign up for your newsletters. But one of your recent newsletters, you said, quote, "The book presents the view that adolescents who claim a gay identity are not getting the whole story or the whole picture and have been misled into believing the LGBT identity is risk-free and inborn like race. They've also been persuaded, contrary to research and many personal testimonies, that there's no hope of change."
Right. Now, there are many, many ex-homosexuals out there. And even though there are a few that are saying, oh, you know, I never changed, well, that's sadly their problem, because mm-hmm. there are tons of people who have.
Yeah.
And God is able to change all kinds of folks. I had not met any ex-homosexuals when I started this. You know, I was really living in a liberal fog. I really was. I wasn't very attuned into current issues. I was an agnostic, and I did not go to church then and didn't have any of that background except earlier in my childhood.
Yeah.
So I have met many ex-homosexuals since God really called me to work on this issue. And as you have, Diane, we know some of the same people. And lovely, lovely people, all different kinds of backgrounds. Some people have gone on and gotten married, had children.
Mm-hmm.
Some have not, but are still great testimonies to the power of God to change your life. And you really, when you meet an ex-homosexual, here's the thing that I come away with, is that homosexuality is a sin like a lot of other sins.
Right.
It should not be given special sin status. It's just one of many things that a person might deal with. And God can change that, and he's able to change any of our sins.
Right. And the recent CDC number, 1.6% of the population here in the U.S. identify as gay or lesbian. And also that same study also showed that those who identify as homosexual have a greater tendency to alcoholism and drug abuse.
Right.
So there are those, and that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as the dangers. I think that's an attempt for them to try to, I think down deep they know what they're doing is wrong, and I think the alcoholism and the drug abuse is a way of them trying to get away from those guilty feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way I view it anyway, and of course that's not even touching the health risk involved in actual homosexual activity. Now, your website has a page with scriptures dealing with homosexuality and gender confusion. Now, do you think that the average Christian is able to counter the religious, I like to call them the religious left's arguments that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality?
I don't think so. I think an awful lot of people today have a very shallow understanding of this, and an awful lot of people, even in Bible-believing evangelical churches, are sitting there and do not have a good grounding in Scripture and really maybe have never even read a lot of Scripture, including those that specifically talk about homosexuality, and it's always to condemn the behavior, not people. You know, our ideological opponents are great at saying, "Oh, you're saying, you know, God condemns gay people." First of all, there are no such things as gay people.
True.
It's habitual behavior and preference, and people are not born that way. That's why I say it that way. There is no different type of human who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this many times, and you've said the same things. But it's always behavior, and you can change.
Yeah.
This is not how you were born. This is not how God created people.
Right, and that's one of the arguments that they've used so successfully is that people are born, quote-unquote, gay, which has been very successful, especially when they target kids who are maybe questioning their sexuality or going through the normal phase of some confusion about their sexuality, which, you know, that's somewhat of a normal thing because, you know, all boys at a certain age know that girls have cooties and vice versa. So the homosexual activists have used that time period or targeted kids during that vulnerable time of their lives to assure them that, you know, that they are, quote unquote, gay because they don't like girls.
That's a point. And if kids get on the Internet, they'll get an incredible amount of misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they specifically go to Christian sites or conservative sites, that will just cement the deal. It'll just seal the deal in believing that they're homosexual. And that's just so wrong.
Yeah.
All of this bypasses parents, bypasses churches, bypasses people that could actually set kids straight.
Mm-hmm.
And much of this happens behind the scenes. Kids won't even tell a parent what they've heard, what they're thinking about, what they're dwelling on, until this is very, very well implanted in their hearts and their minds and their feelings.
Yeah, and I'm afraid that a lot of this stuff comes through if the school, the child's school, is a Gay Straight Alliance club.
Exactly, and that all the other literature and everything that's implying that it's really like race, and if you don't approve of this and you know, applaud this as an alternate lifestyle, that you're a racial bigot, which is not true.
Yeah. Now, I was, you have the book, and now you have written a study guide that goes along with the book, and it is for, you say that it's youth groups, college roundtables, and adult Sunday school classes can now explore the many facets of the issue of homosexuality through in-depth discussions centered around Maybe He's Not Gay, around the book. You know, as I'm looking down through the study guide, it's fantastic because you are asking questions that many in the church are afraid to ask, but need, you're asking those questions that many in the church or that churches, you know, church leadership are afraid to ask, but they need to be asked, you know, because a lot of times churches don't want to get involved in this issue, don't want to, you know, too many of them are afraid to address this issue and don't address the issue of sexuality, period, let alone homosexuality. So there's kids, youth, adults sitting in the pews who themselves may be confused about the issue, but the church doesn't address it.
Right. I think what happens so often is that pastors really want to, if they deal with it at all, they want to just sort of give it a quick pass and then move on. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to get into all the different things that are being, the nuances of what's being communicated today. I mean, for instance, the whole idea of just male and female, mm-hmm. designed by God, you got to start there. You got to start with Genesis, really.
Yep,
got to start with God as our designer, and that He created us just as it's laid out in Genesis, and He created specifically male and female, and there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It works extremely well, and it's a revelation in nature that even non-Christians can see.
Right.
And what's so interesting about the homosexual and transgendered agenda is they're trying to reconstruct everything. The homosexuals want to have sex in ways that your body is not prepared to have sex with. And the fact that you would want to have sex in those ways should be a huge clue.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I was not designed for this. This is going to be harmful or risky in some way. This is all upside down and backwards, sometimes literally. It's artificial. They want to artificially reconstruct gender. You know, this is a big clue. There's something wrong with you, not the way you're made. It's in your head, and you need to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
God can help people deal with that, but that's where the fault needs to lie, is that people need to look at themselves, and that's true of all the things we can do wrong as humans. God has laid it out, and we need to examine ourselves as to what's true and what isn't true.
Right. And you asked the question, do you believe there is an absolute truth? And are some things simply true and other things untrue? And why is that important for the way people live their daily lives?
And of course, I want to take people back to that idea, a little bit of the worldview education.
Mm-hmm.
Of you couldn't live your life if you did not believe that you didn't count on certain things being true every day. So that kids are just not thinking through this, even Christian kids. You know, in my experience, you have children, I have children,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like kids are pretty shallow on this unless you make them sit down and go
think
through
it. Exactly. And, I mean, the world today, the education system today does not, to begin with, you can't trust the public education system when it comes to this issue at all. But
but
they're also just training kids not to be in-depth thinkers, just to be shallow thinkers. And not, you know, so that the kids don't think through to the natural conclusion of their actions. And
right. Yes. And that's one other thing we talk about in the study guide is in the book, is that one of the biggest things you learn as you mature is not everything you want to do or you think about doing is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a really good thing to get other information, but to not go down every path, every impulse, even if it's a strongly held desire or identity. You know, there's lots of people that live for years and years and years believing that, you know, like they want to be a country and western singer, and then somebody finally says, guess what, you don't have a good voice.
You can't sing.
You know, or something like that. You know, people have to deal with truth. We all have to deal with truth.
Yeah, we do. And increasingly we see a world, of course, we're living in a world that, you know, secular humanism is dominant. And that pretty much allows people to decide what's true and what's not true. You know, you have your own truth. But that's so untrue, because unless we can compare what we believe against Scripture, and, I mean, Scripture is the one foundation that will not change. And you have to have that solid foundation to approach any of the problems or situations in the world, because unless you have that solid foundation of Scripture, you're lost. You know, literally, you're lost, and you won't know how to react to a situation, and you won't know to turn to Scripture to get the right answer, to get the correct answer. You know, like you're saying, you have to start in Genesis when you're asking the first question. And for chapter one, question one is, why do you think humans are created as two types, male and female? And what are some possible reasons God decided on this form for the human race? I mean, those are in-depth questions. You know, you're not just asking why this male and female, but you're asking for possible reasons as to the why. So
right. There are so many reasons why you think through as to the complementarity of the sexes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're cookie cutters. There's much diversity within femaleness, within maleness.
Right.
But ultimately, you're still male and female, and you find, you know, when you find a mate, it's somebody that's a complement to you. In many very basic ways, and then some other more subtle ways, because God is very creative. He's
right.
done a lot of neat things, but let's go with God's creativity and his diversity rather than artificial diversity, which includes sin, and is not diversity. You know, we need to teach our children that.
Right, exactly. And, you know, then that's one word that we don't hear very much anymore, the word sin,
right.
because we are, as pretty much as a nation, we don't want to say someone's right and someone, we don't want to say someone's wrong, because we don't want to offend anybody. And homosexual activists are very good at this, as you mentioned earlier, how they are very good at intimidating. Because if you label their lifestyle as wrong, and you say Scripture says it's wrong, then they are immediately on the attack with their reinterpretation of Scripture.
Yeah. Well, until they want to use Jesus and
throw
out a couple of scriptures and say, oh, this is what Jesus believed. Really? You know, you haven't really absorbed the entire personality of Jesus and the character of God.
Right.
You know, that, you get that all the time, too, Diane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, specifically when they say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality. Well, let's first of all recognize the fact that he lived in first century Palestine. And one thing that homosexual activists always ignore is that he definitely did address the marriage issue. And it's interesting, I've put that out several times, that, you know, Matthew 19, which you also mentioned in your study guide, that Jesus specifically talks about marriage when he refers to back to Genesis in his description of marriage, that man shall leave mother and father and cling to his wife. So someone threw back at me, well, that doesn't say that same-sex marriage is wrong. Okay.
You know, these people are so, I mean, they'll try to slither out of things all over the place. Well, the bigger question, because I've got a section on our website, missionamerica.com, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Really? You know, that, and I address all this because the bigger question is, who is Jesus? Jesus was God. And so you can't dismiss the Old Testament. Jesus, first of all, was there in the Old Testament. That is a foundational element of Christian theology, that Jesus is creator. That's John 1:1, Colossians 1, Ephesians, the book of Hebrews. It's all through the New Testament that Jesus was the creative element. He is one with the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in Genesis.
Yep, that's just what I was going to say. He definitely says that he and the Father are one, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And,
right. Don't ignore the Old Testament and get, you know, you don't get an understanding of Jesus if you ignore the Old Testament.
That's true. And Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. Yeah, that's an excellent point. We cannot ignore the Old Testament and fully understand Jesus. Now, on your website, you point to websites about, to discuss the gay, quote-unquote, gay gene. And, I mean, that's good because so many kids are being told that there is such a thing, that there is a gene that makes people homosexual, and so you've linked to a couple websites to address that issue itself, so that gives the kids a resource to get valid information.
That question. Yeah, and the fact that even though, and this is the really deceptive part, Diane, that we're seeing so many responsible groups that should know better falling away and going down the path of this sort of squishy, there's no change for sexual orientation mm-hmm. kind of thing, even professional groups. But by and large, if you dig into, like, the American Psychological Association, when they say questions and answers about homosexuality, sexual orientation, they admit right on their website, it's a great summary, that despite much research, no hormonal or genetic element has been found that points to a specific cause. So there's a lot of places that summarize where the state of the science really is. And then the other thing I point out in the book, too, is how some of these organizations talk out of both sides of their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they talk to kids, they talk, oh, yeah, you can't change one vein, and the other vein, it's, oh, there's lots of fluidity. People are changing all the time. You explore this, explore bisexuality mm-hmm. and whatever combination of genders you want, and they're lying, they're all over the place. They're all over the place.
Again, because they know that they're dealing with impressionable kids, and so they know that they can get away with things like that. But, it's interesting what you brought up about the APA, where, homosexual activists are saying that the APA says that people are born that way, blah, 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 blah. But when you read closely what the APA has actually written, that's not what they've written. They've written, what what you just said, that there's no proof that there is a gay gene. There's no proof that people are born.
It's even stranger in that what they'll say is, in the one sentence, they'll say what I just said, that basically I'm paraphrasing, that there's, despite the research, there's no proof of any genetic or hormonal cause. The next section is, in homosexuality, can sexual orientation be changed? And they say no.
Yeah.
It's like, hello? What? Wait. If you don't, this is the illogical process that, and what I just said about GLSEN and these other groups, they're dealing with children, are doing the same nonsense. Again, as you said earlier, kids are not being taught to think and process information, get all your evidence and your facts and line them up, and then come to the obvious conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are being told that on this thing, you can go round in circles, and that's perfectly okay. You can say this one time, and you can say that the other time, and about not just this issue, but lots of issues, and that makes sense. It doesn't make sense on this issue or anything else.
Well, that's quite true. That's quite true. I found it refreshing that your study guide also talked about address the health risk involved in homosexual activity. And that's something that's pretty much ignored by anyone talking about homosexuality. Too many times it's that whole aspect of the health risk involved is ignored, but you actually have that part as part of your study guide.
Right, so, and, parents, if you're looking for this book for your child, I did do a little bit graphic from a clinical standpoint mm-hmm. only. No more so than the public school ninth grade sex education, of course, would be, in fact, yet less so, and we don't make recommendations to do some really awful things. So, we do talk about just a little bit of the anatomy, so parents will have to decide if they're comfortable with that, and then we move on quickly.
Yeah.
But people need to know that this is if you're being sold this, you need to know what's involved, and it's really sad that our kids have to be, their innocence has to be destroyed this way.
Yeah, stolen from them, absolutely. But then again, like you said, what your book contains is no more than what they get in sex ed class. Because since study guide is geared towards, and the book's geared towards high school students.
Right. I'm thinking for the study guide that high school and up.
Yeah.
Because some of these in-depth questions are probably going to be beyond the middle schooler.
Well, that's true.
And so we need to go from that standpoint.
Right, right. Now, how can folks get your book and the study guide?
Well, missionamerica.com is our website, and right on the front page is the link about the book and how to order the book, but also there's a link within that page for the study guide. So you'll see all that right on the front page.
And the study guide
at missionamerica.com.
Study guide is free on your website then?
Yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
The book is a very modest cost.
Right. And all that can be attained at missionamerica.com.
Right.
And folks can contact you through that.
Yes.
Okay.
You can sign up for our e-newsletters and send me an email if you'd like.
Okay. Sounds good. So missionamerica.com, and I do encourage folks to go there and to get a copy of Linda's book, Maybe He's Not Gay, Another View on Homosexuality, and as well as the free study guide that is on her website, missionamerica.com. So keep up the good work, and keep things straightened out there in Columbus.
And you also, and God bless you for what you're doing, Diane.
Okay, hey, you take care. Uh-huh. Okay, talk to you later.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.